William Hill's In Play Radio.
We've reached the quarter-final stage at the Australian Open for the men and the women. The action's been fantastic and it's been pretty hot on court as well. We've got our regular tennis tipster, Nick Lester, who's been working for ESPN over in the States covering the tournament, with us on the line. Hey, Nick, you well?
Yeah, good, thanks, Lee. Not too bad at all.
Good. How's the heat in LA compared to the heat of Australia?
Not quite as brutal, but I can say the sun has been shining, so that's good news.
Very good. We've got some intriguing quarterfinals. Thomas Burdick versus David Ferrer. We've got Stanislas Wawrinka, Novak Djokovic, Andy Murray, Federer, which is a great matchup, and Rafael Nadal versus Grigor Dimitrov. Should we start at the top of those? 3:35 UK time. Thomas Burdick takes on David Ferrer. 4-6 Burdick. Ferrer is priced up at 6-5. Burdick's in form, isn't he? I mean, the kit's brought a few complaints. His outfit that he's been wearing, but the thing with Ferrer is that whatever kind of form he's in, he's always dogged, isn't he, Nick? He's always there. He won't go away. Burdick should win this, shouldn't he?
I think there's a good shot. I mean, if you look at, you're right. I thought Burdick's played well this tournament, really well. He's yet to drop serve. I think he's only lost something like 30 games as well. On his road to the last eight. So he's playing well. He played some good tennis in the warm-up event as well in Kooyong. So he's, you know, showing some good form. I've been impressed with the way he's gone about his business. Obviously, for him, it's, you know, the big game. He likes to be able to punch holes in players from the baseline. And, you know, he played well. If you look at the last couple of times he's played Ferrer, they played actually back-to-back weeks last year. They played in the final, I think, the O2 in the World Tour Finals, where Burdick played really well that day, dominated Ferrer, and again, it was the serve more than anything else that was just able to take the match out of Ferrer's hands. The week before, they played in Paris, where Burdick again played very well and led, I think, by a set and a break before Ferrer came back to win. So, you know, you're right about Ferrer. Dogged's a good word. I call him the everywhere man, because the guy, just as we know, is just phenomenal. He just was able to chase so many balls down. He's able to keep players off balance at the back of the court. I quite like Burdick in this one. I'm kind of with your sentiment there. I think Burdick's got a really good chance of coming through here. You know, I think at 28 years of age for Burdick, this should be one of his best years of his career. He should be peaking 28, 29. This is where he should be playing his best tennis. And I think he might be ready to. You know, I really do. It's going to be tough against Ferrer over five sets. That's always the question mark. You know, look at Ferrer's consistency at the majors. I think he's now made 9 straight quarterfinals at the majors. So he's played really well at the majors. But I think Burdick has the ability to be able to hurt Ferrer. And I do think he can do it consistently enough. I really do. The balls are playing a bit quicker here. The conditions are flying. It is a bit more. The surface is a little bit swifter, so it will suit the attacking player a bit more. And I think this could be Burdick. I really do. I think he could get the year off to a bang here, and I expect him to come through maybe in 4 close sets.
Yeah, it's a real shame about Ferrer, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people kind of admire him. You know, and I don't. And that almost sounds condescending. I think I noticed his winning record against top 5 ranked players since the end of 2011 was 220. I mean, Burdick's isn't amazing. I think it's 8-28, but it must just be like banging your head against a brick wall for Ferrer.
Yeah, it is. I mean, also, Burdick was the only player in the top 10, Lee, who didn't win a title last year. So he has been very consistent without really being spectacular. You know, that's disappointing for him not to be able to win a title and to be 7 in the world. But it does go to show his consistency. And you're right. You know, he's a guy, as I said in the preview, who's someone who... He's in with sort of Del Potro, who obviously lost early, as that chasing pack, and someone who, you know, who we're looking for to step up. I think if you had to ask Burdick for a quarterfinal spot, he would have probably picked Ferrer, you know, of all the quarterfinals. I think, you know, Ferrer is not a guy that is going to be able to blow you off the court. Burdick is, this is a match that could well be in Burdick's hands. If he can play well and he can continue to serve well, I genuinely think he can win this match. I really do. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was in 3 sets or 4 sets. But I think, you know, the way he's played this week, the conditions are suiting him. He's yet to drop a set. In fact, it's just, I was looking, 33 games is all he's conceded so far. And I think he's looking strong. And I think, you know, I'd say 28, 29, there has to be a time when he matures sufficiently to get through these sorts of matches, and I expect him to do it later on today.
Yeah, two bridesmaids. Hopefully one of them can go a bit further this tournament. The second quarterfinal that we'll look at pits Stanislas Wawrinka against Novak Djokovic. What price? We get a repeat of last year in the Aussie Open, when it was a fantastic match, wasn't it? If you remember, Wawrinka took the first set 6-1. And then 7-5 Djokovic, 6-4, 7-6 and a breaker to Wawrinka, and then 12-10 in that fifth set. Nick, it was a tremendous match, and one that Djokovic really had to dig deep to get through. Wawrinka's still in decent form, to be fair to him, but he has to do that again. He has to bring his absolute A game again. Can he do that again? Can he take a set off him this time?
Tough, you know, it really is. I mean, obviously, it is the same Lee at the US Open. They had a five-setter at the US Open as well. So he has been able to do it, you know, consistently against Djokovic. I mean, just look at the way Djokovic has played at this tournament has been just imperious. I mean, the way he's dismantled opponents, and I would agree the first week of a major generally for the big guys is about getting through, and they should be able to get through. But he has been so impressive. I mean, he against Fognini in the last round, he only lost 10 points against his serve. Now, you couple that with his returning abilities, and you're talking about, as I always say, probably the best returner ever to play the game, and I'd include Agassi in that. You know, Djokovic is able to really dominate off the return. Well, when he's serving that well and only losing 10 points off his serve, then, you know, where do you go? You know, because you can't, it's tough to break the guy, and yet when you're serving, you're under pressure. So, you know, it's an interesting one, this, because Wawrinka obviously had a breakthrough year last year. He started this year well, winning in Chennai. He's one of the few players who has the firepower from the baseline, again, like a little Burdick, if you like, to hurt you. You know, the backhand obviously can, down the line, can be clinical. He's got a forehand as well. I'm just not sure right now, with both stages of their careers and having seen them both in week one, whether we're going to see a repeat of last year. I just think Djokovic is playing at a higher level. I think he should be able to keep Wawrinka off balance. I think he'll be well aware as well of what Wawrinka can do to hurt him, and I think they'll devise a game plan that will, you know, just knock Wawrinka off balance enough from the back of the court. Djokovic, for me, has just looked so good in this tournament. In some ways, he's just absolutely outstanding. He really has been from ball one, and I don't think we're going to see a five setter here. I really don't. I think Djokovic is going to come through fairly comfortably in this one, and I'd probably stick with three straight.
Yeah, I can see that. You're just tempted looking at that. You mentioned about the US Open match when he won that first set. He's actually won the first set seven times in their meetings. The head to head is all in Djokovic's favour. They've met 19 times. He's won 17 of them. If you think lightning might strike once again, there is that bet in the other markets. Under the match betting, if you go down to the bottom, other markets, you've got a match result, so the player to win and both players to win a set. So if you think Wawrinka can get a set off him, you're basically backing Djokovic to win the match, but Wawrinka to nick a set, 7-4 the price for that. But you're squarely on the straight sets win.
I mean, you always go with your gut feeling, and yep. I just think he's, you know, I think, Lee, the way Wawrinka's hurt him in the last couple of matches, I think Djokovic will be very much alive, and I think he'll want to get off to a good start. As you say, having lost the first set the last time, I think he'll want to get off to a good start. He's seeing the ball like a football at the moment, and I do expect him to come through this.
Yeah, the third of the quarterfinals sees Andy Murray versus Roger Federer. Andy Murray, the outsider in this match, even money. Roger Federer is priced up at 4-5. A lot of people, and Dave Kellner among them, raising their eyebrows at those prices, Nick, that thinking that Federer should be the outsider in this matchup. Murray came through in the end in four, but hadn't really looked in too much bother up until that point. Where's Roger Federer's mind? Obviously got new people behind the scenes, and his game looks to have improved a bit. Is he at the same level as Murray?
Tough one. I mean, I would suggest the only reason the prices are like that is purely because Murray obviously hasn't played a lot the last year. You know, having had 5 months away, I'd imagine that's the reason. But again, Murray's done absolutely nothing wrong at this tournament. I mean, yes, he's had a very, very comfortable draw. You know, he's obviously playing Robert yesterday, a lucky loser. He can't really ask for any more with regards to his draw. But You know, Federer played well last night against Songa, as we know. You know, and what's significant, again, is the one thing that stood out for me yesterday, and again, this is the thing we thought with Edberg, is how much would the Edberg influence pay off? How much will we see Federer come in? And I think he came in something like 45 times yesterday. You know, that for me is the is what the Edberg influence there. I think that's the first time in this tournament we've seen Stefan Edberg's, you know, obviously, you know, Federer, as I said at the start of the tournament, must have brought Edberg on for a reason. You know, and it's not, yes, he was an idol, but it must be more to it than that. You know, Federer has not had the capabilities in the last year or so to beat Djokovic and Murray and Nadal from the baseline. It's simply not going to happen. Physically, at the moment, last year, he wasn't able to live with them. So he's obviously looking to change things up and try and devise a game plan to get in their face a little bit and just give them different looks. And clearly, yesterday against Songa, that was one of the things he was trying to employ. He was trying to come in. I thought he looked very good yesterday, Federer. Again, he hasn't, for me, he hasn't done anything wrong at this tournament. This is a fascinating one because, you know, there is still just a slight concern behind Andy Murray as to whether he's match tight. He hasn't really had a test here. Yes, he dropped a set yesterday against Robert, but look at the way he bounced back in the fourth straight away, early break, and he was up. So he hasn't really had a test, but he's done nothing wrong. You know, I said at the start of the event, I do think on anything other than grass, I still don't think Federer can beat these guys, so I'm going to stick with that. I think Murray's record at the Aussie Open is just phenomenal. So I'm staying with Murray here. I think he's fresh. I think that's big. And, you know, the question is, even if Federer does come in and does attack Murray, Murray is one of the best players with a target in the world, you know, and that is the issue he has. Federer's going to have to be very smart here. He's going to have to attack. He can't get drawn into long baseline rallies. We know that with Murray, who's going to be able to outmaneuver him. And I just think Murray, over the course of five, is going to get it done.
Yeah, you think it'll go five then? Yeah. He did last year, didn't it? He did last year, yeah, in the Aussie Open, didn't it? In the semi-final.
He did. But again, if you look at that match, it was a five-setter, but, you know, it really wasn't, a strange thing to say, it wasn't a close five-setter.
No, because when Murray won his sets, it was like 6-4, 6-3, 6-2,
exactly.
I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. And yet, Boot was on the other foot. It was Federer. It was struggling. So I'd probably stick with four. I think Federer can get a set here. But I think Murray, over the course of five, will get it done.
Yeah. 11-8 for four sets in the match. Andy Murray to win 3-1 is priced up at 4-1. As Nick was saying, the two sets that Federer won last year in that semi-final were both on tiebreakers. So it just proves that Murray had it his own way when he put his foot down on the pedal. The final of the men's quarterfinals is Rafael Nadal at 1-16 to beat Grigor Dimitrov, who is 8-1. Dimitrov's one of those names. The Bulgarian is one of those players who a lot of people have been saying we will see great things of. This may well be a step too far. Nadal's barely broken sweat, and that's saying something in that heat. Getting rid of Tomic. Tomic retired, to be fair. Kanekas in straights, then Monfils in straights, and then Nishikori in straights. Although I suppose that was, I say he didn't break sweat, he went the distance with Nishikori in each of the sets, and he 7-6, 7-5, 7-6, and Nishikori pushed him as hard as he could. Can Grigor get anywhere near Rafael Nadal here, Nick?
I don't think so. No. I don't think so. I mean, it was a super match last night with Nadal and Dimitrov. Nadal and Nishikori. Highest quality, I think, tennis, perhaps, of the tournament so far. And it's the age-old problem. You know, Nishikori plays perhaps out of his socks for a couple of sets, you know, playing tennis that you look and say, well, that's going to be anyone in the world. But again, the domination and just how far away the top three are in the world from everyone else stands apart, because you can play two good sets and come away with nothing. And it's just so tough against these guys because the bar is set so high. So, you know, Dimitrov played well. You know, I commentated on his match against Raonic where, you know, there was grit. There was a grit to his game, and that's something we haven't seen. There was a determination under Roger Rashid, his new coach. He's definitely helped him. Rashid's, you know, an old-school guy, a no-nonsense sort of character. He's definitely imbued a bit of that in Dimitrov in his, you know, the way he's fought. I thought he served. You know, he's got a beautiful game. It's so easy on the eye to watch Dimitrov. He serves really well. That's improving. The forehand's improving. You know, the backhand slice. He's got a lot of game, this kid, and I'm really pleased he's made a breakthrough, actually, because I think he's a guy that could add something to the tour over the next few years. He's young, but I just think, you know, it's the eight, now we've got the problem of the matchup. You know, look at Federer and Nadal matchups. What happened there? The way Nadal batters the backhand side of Federer, it's going to be the same thing here. You know, how is Dimitrov if they get into those sorts of exchanges, going to turn it around in his favour. Well, he will be able to use the slice backhand. That's a shot he can use and has used effectively and did use against Rajanic as well. The slice backhand can stay very low and he hits it really well. But I just think it's quarterfinals and out for me for Dimitrov. I think this has been a breakthrough for him and a good couple of weeks, but just don't see him being in Nadal. I think Nadal's look strong, came through a big test last night. And, you know, Dimitrov, obviously, inexperienced at this level to major, and that's going to count for a lot. So, for me, I'm going 3 straight for Nadal.
Yeah, that's 4-9 for 3-zip. You could double it up with Djokovic, which you're also confident of 3-0 at 4-7. That pays 1.27-1, to be absolutely precise about it. Just remind us, from this stage, who wins the whole thing?
I'm sticking with Djokovic. Yeah, he's my man at the start. Enough. I think he's... he's just getting better and better every single match. I think he's just looking so strong and, yeah, loves this place, obviously. Great record here. And I think if he does play Nadal in the final, which is probably likely, I think he's got the patterns and he turned it around last year. And I think he's at the moment playing better tennis.
4-6 for Djokovic to win the tournament. 5-2, Rafael Nadal. 9-1, Andy Murray. 10-1 for Roger Federer. Vavrinka's 33. So is Burdick. Ferrer, 50-1. And Dimitrov, 80-1. It's a third of the odds for a place in the final. The women's side of things sees Nali play Flavia Panetta in the first of the quarterfinals. This one's at 5:05 UK time. 2-9 for Nali. Flavia Panetta is 16-5. Interesting odds. Because when you look at the head-to-heads, Panetta leads in the head-to-heads. All three have been played on hard court. Admittedly, two of them were way back in 2006 when Panetta won one, Nali won one. The most recent time they've played was in Sydney in 2010 when Panetta won 6-2, 7-6. Is it me or are these two a bit more closely matched than the odds say 2-9 and 16-5, Nick?
Yeah, you know what? I've probably been inclined to agree with you. I think Panetta is a very fine player. She's a really good athlete, something that perhaps is underestimated in her game. She covers the court really well. She's got a very clean game. She's got an attacking game when required. And she's got a lot of experience, obviously. You know, it's a bit of a fairy tale comeback, really, because you think of her having had wrist surgery. She wasn't even playing the Aussie Open last year. So, you know, she had 6 months out between, I think it was sort of late summer of 2012, and then didn't return to the tour in 2013. Obviously, that US Open comeback helped her last year, making a semi-final here. But you look at the numbers in her match in the last round against Kerber. 43 winners against Angelique Kerber. Now, Angelique Kerber's a grinder. She's one of the road runners. She's the Ferrer of the women's game, and she's still able to hit 43 winners. So that gives you an idea of how much of a clean ball striker Flavia Panetta is. She plays well. And this, I agree, this for me could be close. I think, obviously, Linar came through a bit of a blip against Safarova and then gave Makarova a bit of a lesson in the last round, and we know she's playing well. I know she went out, coach made her go out and hit a load of balls, get some practice after that round of 16, round of 32 match, because she wasn't playing that great. But I would agree. I do think this can be close. Panetta will not be rolled over here. I do think this could well go the distance once again. But I think Linar has a bit more in the tank overall. I think she's just a little bit stronger from the back of the court. The forehand can be a bit wobbly of the two shots. You know, the backhand is the aggressor. But, you know, she's got good memories from here, Linar, really good memories. And she's adding, you know, facets to her game. She's able to come in a little bit more now when's required. So, you know, as I said at the start, you know, in my preview, I said she's probably got 2 years, Linar, 2 years at the top of the game. I think the clock is ticking a little bit, and that makes each major count a bit more. So I think that's why I'd probably stick with the Chinese player. I think this will be a 3-setter. I think she'll sneak through in 3.
Well, 2-1 to Linar is 16-5. That's a decent price, isn't it?
Yeah, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, don't underestimate Flavia Panetta, as you say. She's a wily customer, and she's been around a while.
Anna Ivanovic takes on Eugenie Bouchard. Bouchard is 21-10, and Anna Ivanovic is priced up at 4-11. Interestingly, Bouchard came to a lot of people's attention in this country anyway last year at Wimbledon when she beat her. And she beat her at Wimbledon. Of course, Ivanovic is the one who dumped Serena out, and a lot of people will be cursing her for that if you've had her on a coupon. Can Bouchard do it again in the Australian Open? She's a decent price to do it. Only that one match between them as well. So she's got it on the head-to-heads. Can she repeat it at another major?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. I really wouldn't, Lee. I look at this matchup. I see what Ivanovic did in the last round against Serena Williams, where She did play, probably for my money, the best match she's played at a major since she won the French Open. You know, yes, Serena was hurt. There was a back injury for Williams who wasn't moving well. But, you know, for me, so much of the game for Ivanovic rolls around the serve. You know, for so many years, this woman couldn't serve. She used to throw in double faults left and right and center. The ball toss was all over the place. And you look at her numbers and the way she's serving now. She's putting a lot of balls into play off the serve. She has a rhythm behind that. And that lays a platform for so much of your game outside of that area. So I think that's been a big improvement for her. I think she's a little bit calmer as well than she was a few years ago. You know, she's a very emotional girl on court. Look at the, if you go through and watch the third set against Serena Williams, you know, it did look as though there was a certain sort of serenity almost within her game and a calmness, and then she was able to come through. I was very impressed with Ivanovic's play. I really was. I thought, you know, she was consistently aggressive. I saw a good quote from Djokovic the other day, who obviously knows her probably better than any other of the players on tour, and he said that, you know, she's put in so much hard work off the court. She has her brother coaching her now, which is obviously helping her. Eugenie Bouchard, though, won't be easy. You know, good player first. I think she's one of the, as you say, in terms of the age difference, I think she's something like 7 years younger than any of the other quarterfinals in her little section there. I don't think this is going to be a walkover for Ivanovic. I really don't. I think Bouchard, you know, for me, has done very little wrong here. Obviously, the first set against Delac where she lost, but then after she got through and having played on Rod Laver Arena, that'll help her again. She's had the experience there. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Bouchard pulled an upset here. I really wouldn't, Lee. I think I don't see any reason why she can't. The only question for me is the experience. You know, at a young age, obviously, does she have the experience at this end of a major? But Ivanovic has still yet to prove to me at a major, again, that it, she can do it back to back to back. Yes, she played well against Serena Williams. Now the boot's on the other foot. Now she's expected to win this match. Now there's a different sort of look. So, interesting. If Ivanovic can reproduce the form against Serena Williams, I think she'll win, but that's an if for me. I'd probably, you know, for me, if I was laying my money down right now, I might have a little bit on Jeannie Bouchard.
Yeah, 21-10 just to win, and if you think she'll win it in straights, it's 24-5. If you think she'll win it in three, then 5-1 for Bouchard to win 2-1. Agnieszka Radwańska takes on Victoria Azarenka. Azarenka going for a hat-trick of Aussie Open titles. She was Nick's pick before the tournament started, and boy, that bet looks tasty now. She's 1-5 to get rid of Radwańska. And to be fair, Nick, she usually does, doesn't she? The head-to-heads are vastly in Azarenka's favour. She's won 7 straight matches against her opponent, and they've all been very recently. She's beaten her already. She beat her in Doha. She beat her 5 or 6 times in 2012, including at the Aussie Open, where she went to 3 sets. But recently, not only has she been beating her, but she's been beating her fairly easily, 6-3s and 6-3, 6-2. Even beat her 6-love, 6-2. At Indian Wells in 2012. Any chance for Radwańska here?
I'd love to make a case for Radwańska. I really would. I'm such an admirer of her game. Yeah. I think she's so, you know, she's in an era where it's so power dominated. She's so up against it in so many departments of the game, and yet she's able to be consistent. She's a little bit like, I mean, this is all due respect, she's a little bit like the Ferrer of the men's game, isn't she? She's so close to being a major winner. She's so consistent. You know, this sport's so much about head-to-heads, and you're right. Her record against Serena, her record against Sharapova and Azarenka is horrid. I think collectively she's something like 40 defeats and 4 wins against those 3 players. So you've got to fancy Azarenka here, haven't you? She's looked good. I thought she played well against Sloane Stephens. Sloane Stephens was disappointing all tournament for me. She battled, but she didn't play well. Azarenka off the ground is so tough. Serve is the only issue, isn't it? That's the only part of her game that she really has an Achilles heel on. And if she can serve, you know, just consistently enough to get through, if these two are in baseline rallies, you've got to like Azarenka just to be able to dominate enough times really against Radwańska to be able to hurt her. You know, as I say, I desperately love to make a case for you, but I just don't see it. I really don't. I think you have to go with the head-to-head here. I think the matchup is good for Azarenka. She's going to get time on the ball to be able to outmaneuver the Polish player, and for me, it's too straight.
Yeah, 1-2 for the 2 sets to love to Azarenka. You could stick that in and make a treble of the Nadal and Djokovic straight sets wins. Next up, and finally, we're going to have a look at Simona Halep versus Dominika Kibulkova. Halep is 4-7. Kibulkova priced up at 11-8. Interesting one, this one. I know a few people have been saying Kibulkova might be a touch of value in the outrights if she can get through this one, first of all, of course. The head-to-heads show that she won the last meeting at Indian Wells last year when she won 7-5, 7-6. Had lost the previous one on clay, but won in Herzogenbosch in 2011 on grass, 6-3, 6-love. I don't know why it is, but I mean, apart from the previous match we talked about, but this is another outsider that I could quite fancy here, Nick, at 11-8, Kibulkova.
Yeah, I mean, she's amazing, really. She's made the quarterfinals of all four majors now, Lee, Dominika Kibulkova. Yeah. And I think if you know, you wouldn't really have said that, would you? I think if you looked down the draw and said, well, you know, someone like that has been so consistent to be able to make the quarters of all four majors. I mean, Sharapova, for me, did rather implode in that third set. I mean, again, you break down the numbers, I think there was something like 35 unforced errors in the last couple of sets from Sharapova, who did have a slight hip injury. We don't know how much to read into that, but Kibulkova is a believer. She's a believer, and she's tough, and she's gritty, and you know, she moves well. She has one of these extreme grips on the forehand side, which you sort of look at her game and think, well, how does she be able to, you know, maneuver the ball around? But she does. I like Simona Halep's game. She's a streamlined sort of player in my eyes, and you know, 6th title she won last year, Simona Halep. That was more than anyone else apart from Serena Williams. So, again, what great numbers she put together in 2013, and she really has kicked on her first major quarterfinal. It's a tough one to call, this, I must say. I think of all the matches we've broken down, this for me is the hardest one to call. I'm leaning with Kibulkova purely on the fact that she has been there before and the wins she's had and she is tough. You know, she is tough. You know, you don't beat Sharapova at a major unless you're mentally strong, especially from a set down. You know, that was impressive. So I'm probably just going to lean with her. I have to say, you know, Simona Halep is one of these players you look at. She's a little bit like in the Ivanovic mold. She can strike a really good ball. She's very consistent. She's taken a little bit of a while to sort of come through. But I'm going to stick with Kibulkova. I don't think, for me, she's an outright winner here, but I do think she's a semi-finalist, and I think she'll come through maybe in a couple of sets.
Kibulkova 2, love is 16-5. You think she'll win 2 sets to 1? It's 7-2. While you were just finishing off that last preview, I just sneakily put all 8 of your predictions into an accumulator here, Nick. Pays 41-1. If all your predictions, I mean, yeah, just the not the set betting, just the match results go right. So, a pound on that, and then when you get off the plane at the other end, you might be £42 richer.
Exactly.
Nick, you Djokovic, you're sticking with Azarenka from
Djokovic. I mean, yeah, he's my man.
And Azarenka in the women's.
Yeah, I think those two for me. Start of the tournament were my two. I think defending champions, and if they continue on the curve they're on right now, I don't see anyone beating them.
Yeah, Azarenka is even money. Lina is 5-2. Ivanovic is 13-2. 10-1 Halep. 14s for Radvanska. 16s for Kibulkova. Bouchard is 25-1, and Panetta is 50-1. Nick, I'm going to go away, listen to this, and learn all the pronunciations correctly, because I think I got about 3 or 4 wrong during that. I always seem to pick Na-Li the wrong way around. I know it's Lee now. My name's Lee. I should know Lee Na. I'll remember that in future. Nick, thanks for your time. It's always
pleasure.
A pleasure speaking to you, and we'll speak to you again before the end of the tournament.
Good man. Cheers, Lee.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.